it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here for hour number two of the second guest show. Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. At 6:30, we'll throw it to the Saints Radio Network. It'll be the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. We'll have on with us as the host, Mike Haas. Have Bobby with him. I'll join him a little bit later. His guest tonight will be Saints head coach Kellen Moore and his special guest, Saints offensive coordinator Doug Nussmeier. So you can tell about having an A-Bear
blood
in the family. They blood some kind of way. Hey, it's the last time I can do this because he is retiring Thursday. Mr. Dane Hillwood from the Silver Slipper.
Oh,
Dave.
Man.
Dave. Dave.
Oh, Bobby. Thanks, man.
Hey, I'm gonna let him go through it. I don't want to talk over him. Dave, all those years, man, we appreciate everything you've done for us here. Been a great friend throughout the years.
I think it's been 18 years, I believe.
18 years.
So you're a veteran, Dave.
And he's vested.
Yeah, you vested 18 years. You've seen it all. I've been there, done that, yep. Did it all, so... So, Dave, did somebody win the cash money?
No.
$100,000.
Oh, it's still
coming. Nine? Is it nine slippers left or eight?
There's eight slippers left.
Eight slippers left. So, Thursday, on Dave's last day here at the slipper, they got $100,000 up. And you could walk out of the slipper.
Cash money, homie.
Cash money. Afterward, then, I don't know, quite $100,000 because Uncle Sam, you know, you got to pay him.
But yeah, but it just sounds good.
Yeah.
It just sounds good.
You could win $100,000, only eight slippers left. And Dave, what a fitting injury.
Yeah, it is, man. It's been bittersweet. But I'll tell you what, I really enjoyed it. I never thought it would last almost 20 years here, but it's been a great time.
Well, so Dave, you always how many years now in the gaming industry?
Oh, man, since 1992.
Since 1992. I knew Dave before he was here.
So 1992.
opened up the other one in Bay St. Louis.
So you've been involved since 1992.
Yep.
So that's that great Jesuit education,
Yeah, he's still looking to find a place to use it.
Hey, look, there's another Blue Jay in the audience. That's my brother right down there in the blue shirt.
Oh, man. Right. Awesome.
Another Jesuit football player, John Hilbert.
Awesome.
So, Dave, a lot of memories, but you did get to see the Saints win a Super Bowl.
I got to see the Saints minister. I sure did.
How about that?
And we celebrated right here on stage.
So, I have a question for you. You probably were part of the negotiation, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Post-Katrina, that first year, I remember we were on the West Bank at Boomtown. And how did y'all steal us to come here?
Is
that Ferrucci or what?
No, my understanding is Boomtown was kind of on the fence about it. And so John Ferrucci called me and said, didn't you have that show with Casino Magic? I said, we sure did.
Yep.
And without a doubt, you get that show here. That show's a game changer.
Well, and the thing about that, two decades.
Yep, here we are. And you've done a great job, Bobby. Taking filling big shoes for Buddy D.
Oh, listen, Buddy D, I'm going to tell it like
it is. The only thing
is,
I will say this. Buddy dropped more money at the casino than Bobby.
Yeah,
if Buddy left here with anything positive, it was an anomaly.
No,
let me just put it to you that way.
Because I actually won money from this casino. I'm on the positive. Now I had to wait because the over and under win total.
LSU, 2009. Put money on it, and he was like, Mike, where's my money? I said, you got to wait till the end of the year.
You made the first bet in our sports book.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I made the first bet in the sports book.
You know, speaking of Buddy D, you carried on his wish to do your men in dress parade.
We got to go back to the Super Bowl, and I've said this. We're not going to have the 2.0 dress parade. You know what we're going to do? We're going to have a female Who Dat Nation appreciation parade.
Oh, yeah.
What males wouldn't show up if you got a bunch of female Who Dat Nation members in a parade? We're going to have 100,000 people instead of 80,000 plus to come to that parade. So, I mean, and you know what? And I'm not just saying this because I'm in the Gulf Coast, Gulf South. The female football fans down here know more about football than anywhere in the nation. I'll tell you, the female football fans, they know as much as guys, I'm telling you. You know,
some of them do, I will admit.
You won't believe, they've had women come up to me, I'm so glad it's hunting season. I go, well, what do you mean? Get my husband out of the house. He's going deer hunting. Now, me and all my girls can get together. We can watch football. No, think how crazy that is. You don't hear that everywhere.
Well, with the new mayor, Bob, we'll have to talk to Helena Marino. I know her a little bit. Maybe we can get that code in that we could do that parade.
Well, she's wearing that official Florida leash. She got a jacket, a Saint jacket and all that. So, so bright times are coming. you look at that. They got Helena Marino and for mayor.
So, Dave, tell us a little bit about Cruise on the Coast. Man.
The weather was spectacular. It was just, they broke their all-time registration record of 10,200 and change. It was it was a great thing, man. It beautiful.
So, Dave, I think I asked you this last week. Because everyone, when you retire, you go on a trip or something.
Don't tell him. Again.
No, but where are you told me? You're going to Pensacola?
That's just to get out of the house. I want to sit around, you know. We're going to leave Saturday, go to Pensacola. The weather's going to be beautiful.
Okay, and nothing wrong with Pensacola, but you got to be more adventurous.
We got big plans, Bob.
Yeah, you got to be more adventurous than
hop on the plane with Hebert. He'll take you to Europe.
Yeah,
and then you go visit all over. I'm telling you, you'll have a good time. I will say that.
No, we'll go to Casablanca or something in Morocco or something. Yeah, we're going to really jet set.
Just let me know when you're going to do it. I'll give you them thumbs. So, Dave, tell everybody what you got going on your last week here at the Slipper.
Well, the big thing is this that Thursday night that's coming Thursday. It's not only Rumble on the Gulf outside. We have the Assume Rich Band playing. Got line dancing on stage here. And then at 8 p.m., we're giving away that $100,000 with the Slippers of Cash. We're going to try to give it
away. We're trying to give it away. Yeah, I think the time would be perfect if you can give it away since you're retired.
Yeah, it would be perfect.
But
Dave?
But I tell you what, that's been all the years we've done this, that has to be one of the best promotions you'll ever did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the excitement.
Yeah.
And the anticipation of people looking up, boy, if I can win that
cash
money.
Now, you remember, we gave away $1 million our first year, and you drew the ticket.
Oh,
well, he don't remember
that. No, I had 11
too many concussions.
No, Dave, I vaguely remember that.
Vaguely.
I got a picture of you reaching your hand in the drum, and you're pulling out the tickets were envelopes, and he's pulling out two envelopes. I'm like, no. One of them dropped.
No, I had to shake that one out. Yeah, yeah. Whoa.
Okay, what about the two golf carts?
Two golf carts, that's going to be October 24th. Last Saturday in October, and we're going to have two winners. So two people going to go away with that golf cart. Those are those beautiful,
really nice
golf carts. Big shout out to Lee from Franklinton, Louisiana. She won the Jeep Wrangler this past Thursday.
Oh, yeah, that Jeep Wrangler.
From where? Franklinton.
Franklinton. Is that Tangipahoa Parish?
That's right there. But it's above... Bogles?
Kentwood and all that area?
Dave, man, listen, we can't thank you enough. We wish you the best in your retirement.
Right,
I know we're going to see you again.
You will.
And everything. And, man, it's been a lot of fun. We've had a lot of fun with all this throughout the years.
We had a lot of fun, man. We had some great celebrity. We had Tom Dempsey here to kick off the draft one time.
Boy, and you look at Dave. Isn't he a good-looking man? look how his hair is flowing. He got his hair flowing and
felt
all that.
The sink a hit.
No, but look at that hair, man. He got it flowing all sexy and all that. I mean, man. Dave, you're young for your age. I mean, you look young, so that's a good thing.
I look young, but it's hurting these days.
Hey, Hey, you like us then. Yeah, everything, I know, man. Everything's sort of hurting exactly. A little bit today.
So Dave, we always have to ask your opinion about the Saints or LSU, whatever. Because you always have an opinion. Okay, where are we at? It's like, be patient, man. Or it's like so close you know, so
it's,
far?
It's a rebuilding year, of course, as we know. I mean, the last three games, are what they were lost in, but less than a touchdown. So that's promising.
We're right there. We're right there. But you don't get no brownie points. It's still like a moral victory. No, did you win or lose? I'd rather win like Sean Payton won. They bling over in Europe. They won 13-11. Talk about an ugly game. And the
especially if you had the under.
No, and the sorry ass Jets. I mean, it was like 13-11. Come on.
Oh, man.
The team's got to find a way to win.
Thanks so much again.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
All right, Dave.
Dave, give it to us one more time.
Come on down to the Silver Slipper.
All right. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We had the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Again, we want to wish Dave Hilbert all the best in his retirement days. And I know we'll see him, and he'll probably be up here a couple times, come talk to us somewhere during the season. But thank him for all those years.
Yeah, he can't be stuck up. He got to still socialize.
No, man, he got to come see us. question about after that big trip to Pensacola.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder. That's why, look, talk about extremes. You go to Pensacola, Dave, I'll take you to Casablanca. You know, you remember Humphrey Bogart? They got enough older people in it. You remember that?
Dave, better get ready for that trip. Let's go back to our phone lines. Go to Big John. Big John, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Good afternoon, Bobby. Good afternoon, Mike.
All right, partner, how you been?
Big John, I'm glad you called. I know you were busy and had other assignments. Oh, it's a different Big John.
Yeah, it's a different Big John. We ain't talked to Big John in a while.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry,
go ahead,
about
brother.
Hey, Bobby, here's the question for Kellen Moore I want you to ask tonight. While time and time again yesterday, I noticed that Chase Young was putting pressure on Drake, on Mitt, the quarterback. The problem was, every single time he would get shoulder length, he was bull rushing him on the outside. He would just take off, pick up 15, 20 yards at a time. Why didn't they tell Young, hey, put the brakes on a little bit, and let's not give up the inside like that every single time. And I don't understand. They kept letting him go every single time. On third down, he would just wait for him to go past, take off. And I want to know why they didn't make him
Big John, I can tell you, okay, it has to fit like a glove. And you've heard probably Deuce talk about this. You got to be disciplined. You can't just be freelancing. And now, you can freelance and then take a chance if you make the sack. But let's say you have containment, and you said, "Boy, I'm going to be the guy inside," and then the QB gets outside, and then there's nobody there.
You saw what he did. He stepped up in the pocket and made the throw, or he ran.
So then you know what? We need to challenge the interior guys.
Yep.
We got to get more push where there's nowhere to go. Then you run the lane discipline. Everybody's doing their job. Like I said, you're fitting like a glove, that whether you rush it four or five, that the quarterback has nowhere to go. Now, you've seen some magicians like Baker Mayfield, and you've seen Lamar Jackson. Well, everybody was in the right position, but they didn't finish the tackle. Well, then you had the right defense, but when you see too many times that there's lanes where the quarterback, like a Drake May, could step up. Because the one thing Chase Young and any edge guy, depending on the stunt they're running, somebody has containment. So I mean, let's say you're rushing hard, what could help Chase Young, if the guy to his inside is getting enough push so he can't just run by him. Now, the great, great defensive ends, they'll pick and choose to take a chance even though they'll have containment. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to cheat a little bit, take a chance, and swim on the inside, but you got to get the sack. You can't miss the tackle, don't get him, and then, Mike, the quarterback's running outside. That's what you're going to – now, he's just coming back, Big John, right now, easing back into it. So it'd be a challenge against Caleb Williams because he's mobile, Mike, against Chicago.
He's more adept to take off running than Drake May. If you saw Drake, Bob, I counted it four times. He felt a little bit of pressure from his backside.
His pocket awareness was unbelievable.
So what he did, he readjusted his launch pad. He stepped up in the pocket, man, planted his feet, bang, went downfield.
Caleb Williams can't hold Drake May's jock as far as pocket awareness.
No,
what I mean by that, Caleb Williams, because you get away with this when you're so athletic, and Lamar could do it, and like a Shador and all them, you can't be running backwards. You know, in the NFL, when you see them scrambling and all that, Lamar can get away with that, maybe Michael Vick, but that pocket awareness. If you can always scramble and you're not running backwards, maybe you're hitting the hole going and left. That's what Drake May goes through his reads.
For a young guy, impressive.
He's going through his reads where Caleb Williams now, I think Coach Ben Johnson is trying to change that, where he's not just going through one read and then wanting to bail and just take off. No, you can't ad-lib like that in the NFL. You won't have success, consistent success, week in and week out.
Josh McDaniel was a terrible head coach, but he is a really good offensive coordinator.
He is
really good.
He would be
quarterback developer.
He would be the version, because you look at, okay, who would be like a fraternity, like outstanding offensive coordinators, outstanding defensive coordinators? Okay, I look at Bum's son, Wade Phillips.
Yep,
look at Vic Fangio. Then make it as a head coach, but outstanding defensive coordinators. Well, that's where he's at from the offensive side. Not so much a head coach, but look what he's done. And you know what's impressive with that? It's not just Tom Brady. Because, you know, you say, I could coach Tom Brady and stuff. But no, that combination. And now he gets to work with Drake May.
Drake May looks like he's ready to take his senior year of high school, like homecoming pitcher. When you take a look at his face, he looks like he's 17 years old.
When I really, and you know, you have to have patience. When I really got impressed with Drake May is that Buffalo Bills primetime game. This is before the Saints. And now I'm even more impressed because it seems like it has finally truly clicked and he's turning that corner. No, Drake Mann's right now the poor man MVP. No, Baker Mayfield. It's obviously, like, who you put, like, because it's always, like, way too early, top three MVPs.
A lot of people thought it was Dak until this week.
Well, yeah. But
then Bryce Young and all caught him.
But
he don't play defense
either. It was kind of like Dak Prescott, Baker Mayfield. Not looking at what the team's doing, but what they're doing individually playing winning football. Well, Drake May is right up there. Mike, he's like the one that one's really aware of.
The young, budding superstar
right
in the NFL. Let's go to Brian. Brian, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, guys.
All right, Brian.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Brian.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, yeah, just a quick question, man. What is up with that defensive line in the pass rush? We haven't been relevant since Trey Hendrickson. Are these guys taught to, like, who's the strongest man? It's not an arm wrestling contest. It's, hey, let's get away from the block and get the guy with the ball. If you watch them, they're constantly just engaged with the guy blocking them. It looked to me like on one of the bombs he threw yesterday, the defensive end clearly had to tackle feet for a sack, and it almost looked like he gave up on the play. What is up with the pass rush? It hasn't been relevant in forever.
Yeah, when I look at the pass rush, and I thought Chase Young was outstanding in training camp. Now he's been hurt. Cam Jordan is older. Carl Granison could have 5.5 sacks. But I want to say it's probably before the Giants game, small sample size, but we were giving up like a well over 3 seconds, not quite 3.5 seconds.
That's
but
a long time.
We were dead last as far as the opposing quarterbacks. Now, you hear me say this all the time. You can't let the opposing quarterback back there feel like they can make a sandwich.
No.
How many times you ever said, Mike, we didn't really bother the quarterback? The quarterback can play 8-12 straight quarters. We're not giving him the business. Now, you can't hit the quarterback anymore, but you can go hit his arm. How about take that ball out?
Or influence his throw with pressure.
Exactly.
They haven't done that this year, though, Bob.
No,
they've got more sacks than pressures, to be honest.
No, and you know who has not had an impact as much? Brian Brazee. Brian Brazee was among the interior guys when he had, Mike, 7 sacks, 7.5 sacks. No, he's been nowhere near. Nathan Shepard, he is what he is.
He's kind of hit and miss with the pressure.
Right now, to just rush 4 people, we can't influence the opposing quarterback.
You're going to have to send more.
No, you got to do a stunt. You got to do a dog. Not an out-and-out zero blitz where you're putting the young DBs on an island. But when I'm talking about bringing 5, not just bringing the house. Could you bring the house
Do that against Caleb Williams, you know what he's going to do? The hell with it. I'm running it.
Well, you better not let him get outside. That's when you want him running backwards. Hopefully, we'll be lane discipline, and Caleb Williams will feel like, oh, I'm going to give some ground, and then we'll sack his ass and bring him down. Like, oh, that was a stupid play. He lost 20 yards. No, that's what you want. You don't want him to be able to turn that corner.
Brian, it hasn't been there. Can't argue with you there,
no,
buddy.
No,
I agree.
It has not been there. So is that somewhat personnel, Mike? I mean, I don't know. But Brian Brazee, like offensive line, we drafted him in the first round. We were always worried about him against the run. But he has to build upon what he did last year as a pass rusher. Now, I thought he made some plays, this game. But when you look, Cam Jordan's up in age. Carl Granderson's an overachiever. And I think he's been fine. Chase Young, the one that needs to be disrupted. Look where he was drafted.
Yeah.
He's basically like the top overall pick. Where he was picked, no, not just quarterback hurries or pressures. He needs double-digit sacks.
I do think the Saints are getting a lot of phone calls about Carl Granderson on a trade. I do think there's interest in Carl around this league. We'll be back with our Thibodeau.
It'd be like Trey Hendrickson. We let him go, then he'll kick ass to somebody else.
Our Thibodeau Regional Health Systems, Nicholls State Coaches Show. Tommy Rybecki will join us right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here on the second guest show. Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Now we're going to go to head football coach of the Nicholls State Colonels, Tommy Rybecki. This segment is sponsored weekly by Thibodeau Regional Health Systems, the official health provider of Nicholls State Athletics. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Coach, did you watch a bunch of NFL or college football this weekend? I'm going to ask you right off the bat.
Yeah, a bunch of college games, especially in our conference, getting a chance. There were 2 games on to see those. And then also tune into some of the bigger games, Indiana, Oregon, and a couple of those in the SEC.
Man, did Oregon get spanked on their own turf, too?
And that don't happen too often.
That don't happen often, man. Cignetti, he took him there. But he one thing I give him, he is pretty confident in his team.
Yeah, without a doubt. And then you just do a little bit of history on what he's been able to do with the programs he's been a part of all the way back to, you know, I think there was a Division II program in Pennsylvania, then Elon, then James Madison, and then now with Indiana, he really making a mark. Everywhere he's been.
Coach, with that week off, able to get some of your guys healthy. I know you got a young football team and you're playing guys, 20 freshmen across the board, either as true freshmen or redshirt freshmen. So also, too, when you have that bye week, gives you a little bit of time to heal up.
Yeah, no question. Will be big to get some guys back this week who have been banged up, and also even some guys have been pushing through injury to get them back closer to 100%. And then with the young guys, it's so big to build confidence throughout that week and just continue to stack reps so that those guys can play a little bit faster and more confidently come game time.
You know, Tommy, a coach's work is never done. So just tell the fans, when you do have a bye, obviously – You never get away from football. Like you say, you want to be entertained, you watch that. But then also recruiting never stops. Whether you're watching high school games or yourself scouting, what can we do better? I think I've talked to you about this, but just explain that again to the fans.
Yeah, bye weeks are big. First, recruiting. You know, this time of year, you're really looking to set the table for signing day in December. And so we spent the beginning of the week getting out to the Mississippi Junior Colleges and then also the Louisiana high schools and really evaluating what's going to be available for that December signing date. And then also getting to some games later in the week and seeing some guys in person that you weren't able to do when you're on the road. And then when you look at your own team, self-scout is so big. You got to know yourself. You got to look and see, hey, what are we doing well? What are the issues that we're having? And then how can we address those issues with the extra practice time throughout the week? And so that's really what we did.
Coach, with the junior college, they changed the rule last offseason, correct? That basically if you went to a junior college and went to 2 years, you still technically have 4 years that you could play in college football?
So they are still ironing that out. What happened was with the quarterback at Vanderbilt, Pavia, they gave everyone who was at junior college an extension eligibility for this year. So we got a couple guys on our team that would have been done playing who get this last year. And then I think what they planned on was using this time to decide how they're going to handle the junior college years. And I think it's tied up in some courtroom somewhere to figure that out.
You know, Tommy, and you look at the rankings, and you always look, and the Solid Conference is always going to be represented. You win the conference, you'll be in the postseason. But I want your opinion. I have an opinion on this. Why they're always in the hunt. They got some big corn-fed dudes up there, and then they're always able to get individual talent, whether it's from California, whatever. But you know who's always ranked? The Dakotas. North Dakota State, North Dakota. Or South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits, the Coyotes, you know, the Bison, I don't know if they call the Fighting Sioux anymore, North Dakota. And then you look Montana Grizzlies, Montana State Bobcats, those six programs, it seems like they always rank. They're never not ranked. Is it because, I guess, you look at it's in the middle of nowhere when you look on a map. And they all don't go to Nebraska or go to a Big Ten school. Why do you think the talent pool, because that's a lot of Dakotas and the two Montana schools, that they're always relevant. Now, you might say, well, they're going to move up, like, you know, James
and
Madison.
It's all not Dakota guys. They're from Minnesota, Iowa,
California.
Kansas. I mean, they spread out all over.
Yeah, Tommy? So what's up with that, Tommy? I know you probably observed that.
Yeah, without a doubt, and credit to those coaches and the people who have been there in the past for building those programs and those traditions that they have. But you're looking at flagship schools. You're looking at North Dakota, who's number one, and North Dakota State, who's number two in that state. Same thing would be true for Montana and Montana State. So when you look at resources that those schools have, man, they're on par with, you know, what the University of Iowa and Iowa State or Indiana, you know, or schools like that that are flagship schools. So I think that helps them develop players that are part of their program. They got a lot of resources to pour into them and then also to continue to keep those players around as, you know, with the transfer portal, guys are looking to leave and move on. They're able to attract them to be able to stay.
Now, Tommy, looking in the Southland Conference, Texas definitely looks stronger, strong. You look at where Louisiana, Texas, all the universities. Being objective, who you think that's been the most impressive so far? Is it Stephen F. Austin or Lamar?
Don't tell him Northwestern.
No. Northwestern. And we lost to Houston Christian. Used to be Houston Baptist. Come on. But to me, I don't know. Incarnate Word, that was impressive at the beginning.
Yes, very much.
But I think this year it might be Lamar or Stephen F. What's your take on that, Tommy?
Yeah, I think both of those schools are at the top. I'm impressed with Lamar's ability to win close games, what they did. I don't know if y'all caught the end of that game last week, but they came back from 10 down and used a penalty there on a field goal try to get ahead and then ran it in off of a fumble play on the kickoff. But they were really in a tight game, and their ability to win those close games really sticks out to me that they got a good football team. And then we'll see Stephen F. Austin this week. They're very talented. They've been playing well. They're good all around, so we'll be able to gauge that a little bit better after this week for sure.
Tommy, I'll get your take on this. because of what we see the changes in college football. The top recruits, the 4 or 5 star guys, you know, you kind of know where they're headed. But I think there's a bigger pool of players because a lot, you look at an LSU or University of Louisiana or a Southern Miss, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, they will go into the transfer portal to get an experienced player over the high school guy that's maybe a 3 and maybe needs a little bit of development. Have you seen that? To me, that would seem to be an advantage to guys like you, Southeastern, McNeese, those teams, where it's a little bigger pool because I think some of those 7 to 8 to 9 scholarships that you would use on high school guys.
They want experienced guys.
Yeah, they go into the transfer portal instead.
And they want the experienced guy, the transfer portal, name him Jelinez. So, I don't know, Tom, it seems like you could get maybe the better high school athlete.
No doubt. I think you guys are exactly right. The opportunity is in the high schools. There's so many good players who aren't being recruited to the level they would have been 5, 6 years ago currently in high school. And so it's a balancing act to go get those guys, get them in your program, because you don't want to be playing with a ton of freshmen, but you got to go get them and you got to develop them and keep them around for a while to mature your team and grow up. But you guys are exactly right. There's more players available in high school now than ever before.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Wish you the best of luck this coming Saturday.
All right. I appreciate you all.
All right.
Thanks so much. That was the head football coach of the Nicholls State Colonels, Tommy Rybacki. This segment is sponsored weekly by Thibodaux Regional Health Systems, the official health provider of Nicholls State Athletics. We'll be back to finish it up here in hour number 2 on Second Guess right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number 2 of Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, our Sports Talk second guest version here at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. And the Mariners, after having a 3-1 lead, then it became 3-3, or now 6-3.
Well, you know why I love this? Because the Blue Jays kicked the Yankees' ass. Look all the runs they scored. And what? You don't think Seattle pitching hasn't made a difference?
Made a difference.
And this, Mike, if Seattle wins, I mean, how could Toronto come back? Now, you can't come back theoretically. But the 2-0 you went on the road? Oh, no.
We're back right after
Toronto's in trouble.
Right here
they
on the
Big
870 WWL.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.